Since this is the first time I am in this pulpit, I want to say a couple of words about me. Probably will be helpful. I do this because sometimes people say they don't understand me, and then they laugh at all the jokes that I make. I'm all wired here, so I want to make sure that you can hear me. I see a fire extinguisher behind the pulpit, but I don't know whether you know that. So if the I'm all wired, and if there is some kind of electricity pass through, somebody can take that and put it out. Anyway, I came from India to this country about 38 years ago, study in Pittsburgh Theological Seminary. After my seminary education and University of Pittsburgh education, I served a church in East Liverpool, Ohio, near East Liverpool, Ohio, for 12 years. Then 89, I came to St. Andrews, and I was there for 18 years. So I have served only two churches. I've been active in the presbytery, but I was asking your lay leader, when was this church built? And I think the church was built after I came. It's fairly new. This is the first time I'm here, and I'm really happy to be with you and hear the beautiful singing and to worship with you, with the Lord this morning. The fourth Sunday of Easter is called the Shepherd's Sunday, and I thought this is a very appropriate Sunday for the Christ Church, because you are looking for a new leader, and the scriptures are pointing to leadership. The first scripture is Psalm 23, and I want to say something about the Psalm 23, not about the Psalm 23, which I'm sure you will hear in the sermon. The problem with some of the most familiar scripture is, like some of the hymns that we sing by heart, you overlook the meaning, the deeper meaning. And you can probably, the most popular scripture in the whole world, and most people know it by heart, and it is recited in during the funeral, and one of the most popular psalm. But sometimes we overlook the deeper meaning. And I know you are all good students, Bible students, but I like to share what I have learned and experienced over the years. So the first scripture is Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. The gospel lesson is from John chapter 10, verses 1 through 16. Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them. And the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd." This is the word of God. Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, you have the words of eternal life. Speak to us. Speak to us even through the words that your humble servant uses to communicate a mystery that is beyond human understanding. Touch us where we need to be touched. No matter where we are in our faith journey, young and old and all in between, wherever we are, we ask that you touch us where we need to be touched and help us to grow as we leave this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As you are looking for a pastoral leadership, it is important to discern what kind of a leader you are looking for at this time in your history. I don't envy the PNC. I've never been in a PNC. I was on the other side. It's a daunting task. It's a difficult task. So I hope that you will pray as a congregation for the leaders. The Bible has great shepherds or leaders. They were called shepherds, like Moses, King David, and many others. They cut their teeth in the wild learning the lesson of leadership by shepherding the sheep. However, Moses' leadership was very different from Aaron's leadership. Moses was a visionary. A lot of times people ask, "Where is Moses?" Well, we don't know. He's up in the mountain. He says he's talking to God. But who is preparing the lunch? Where are we going to sleep tonight? All those immediate decisions were taken by Aaron. So they have two different leadership. One is about organization, the other is about vision. So what I'm saying is that in the church, we need both. Hopefully, the Presbyterian Church designed the elders to do the organizational part, and the ministers are visionaries. You know, they take you to in the long run, where the church needs to go. There are some secular leadership training now. And one of the things that I learned from a nephew who is an executive in a computer company, he said one of the most difficult things today is to understand the new generation who were born and brought up in the computer time. So the older generation and the generation in between, even the baby boomers are now considered to be the older generation retiring, and the middle-aged, and then the younger generation. And there's a huge gap in understanding the different generation, and that is true even in the church. So true leadership is to understand these different modus operandi that people behave in this world anymore. And the change is happening so fast these days that nobody can catch up with it. But before we talk about leadership, and I'm going to talk more about the Psalm 23, that what can we learn, so it is sort of indirectly say, what can we learn about leadership and to understand from the Psalm 23. And some scholars and pundits say that the problem in the world is, especially in the Middle East, is that they are not happy with the leadership they have. Parenting is a kind of leadership. You know, a lot of people don't know how to manage being a parent anymore because the children speak a different language. So in the church, we always look into the scripture for guidance. So who is a good shepherd? Who is a good leader in the Bible? So the best definition for a good shepherd or good leader is given in Psalm 23. It's written by David. David says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." That does not mean that I don't need anything. As long as the Lord is my shepherd, I am grateful for life. I trust in the leadership of Christ. I trust in the leadership of shepherd who is guiding us. So it is like an autobiography of a sheep that David was a poet. So he's imagining what the life of a sheep is like, even though he is a shepherd. So a shepherd who gives me confidence is a good leader. Think of the psalm again as an autobiography of a sheep, as an autobiography of yourself. If you let the sheep go on eating, it can eat itself to death. The sheep are not in the Bible considered to be very smart. And so it is very important for the shepherd. You know, sometimes we go to a church dinner and you take so many good stuff in your plate and you say that my eyes are bigger than my stomach. So the sheep in the consumer world that in which we are living, we can buy so many things that we don't even need because somebody is telling us through the television and radio and all the media, you have to buy this, you have to buy this to be a happy person. But a good shepherd says, now is the time to take a break. We have to rest. We have to take a break. Rest is so important for restoration. That is why the traditional name or the word for the Sabbath, take a break. That is why we go to church from our routine, take a break. That is the centerpiece of creation. That is the centerpiece of the Ten Commandments, to take a Sabbath. Even God took a Sabbath. If God can take rest, we can too. And then the psalmist says, the good shepherd leads me beside still waters. Still water is so important for reflection. You cannot see yourself in a running water or a waterfall. You have to not only take rest, but also you have to take stock of what is life is all about. You know why the shepherd leads the sheep to still water? Because the flowing water or a waterfall can thicken his wool so heavy the sheep can kill himself. So it is so important that a good leader leads the congregation to still water. And my soul is restored. This is how I get energy and vitality. Now God has given us a new life, a new way. And you know, we always say that if I don't go to church, it makes a long 2 weeks. We don't even understand how much our soul is fed when we go to church. And the new way of life. And that way is dying to the old way and born to the new way. And this way is not believing in a set of rules or memorizing certain statement. The way of Jesus is not salvation by syllables. Rather, Jesus is the way. A way of death and resurrection. A path of transformation and transition. If you truly believe in Jesus, every time we come to church, we need to die some of the old things that is not good for our vitality and energy that God gives. By the way, the word enthusiasm, you have heard? You know what that means? In theos, in God. True enthusiasm comes from God. In theos. So that enthusiasm, that energy, that vitality gives us in a damn, rainy, cold day in the spring is by going to the church. That's the way of Christ. He leads me in the right paths for his name's sake. We pray in the name of Jesus. When we say that I pray in the name of Jesus, that means I pray in the character of Jesus. I pray in the integrity of Jesus. God honors whoever prays in the name of Jesus. God's honor is at stake when we pray in his name. So whatever we have asked in God's name, in Christ's name, is done. Consider it is done. Like parents, we don't give everything the children ask. So some of the things that we ask, God is not going to give you. But that is not lack of answering. Sometimes a good answer is a no. So all prayers are answered, may not be in the way that we want it. Another way of saying it, it's not what we believe about God that saves us, but what God believes about us. I want to say that again because I don't want to be misinterpreted. It is not our belief in God that saves us. It is God's belief in us that saves us. You know why? Because our belief is always not complete. It's not perfect. But God's belief in us is perfect. God is chasing us. God is coming after us. God is knocking at the door. And we have to open. We have to respond. But God is the one who believes in us. And so we come to the centerpiece of this poem, and it says, even though that means we surely will experience sometime in life some very, very difficult things. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, the opposite of light, even though my life go out of control, I fear no evil. Evil is real, but God is with me. I remember a story about a small baby child crying one night, and the mommy went and tried all her tricks and sang a song, put the lights on, she's still crying. Gave her the favorite doll, she's still crying. And finally, mommy gave up and they said, honey, what do you want? And the child said, tonight, I want someone with skin on. Tonight, I want someone with skin on. She's not satisfied with the doll or anything else. She wants her mommy. And that's what God provides us. Even though I walk through the most difficult time, your rod and your staff comfort me. You know, there is a big difference between rod and staff. You know, rod is necessary. Sometimes I need to be whacked at my bottom to put me into shape. That's what the shepherds do, a loving shepherds do. Sometimes the shepherd need the loving staff to rescue me. At this point in the psalm, the imagery changes. God changes from a good shepherd to a gracious host. Hospitality is very, very important in the East. That's the tradition where I come from. Hospitality is so important. So the gracious shepherd moved to a gracious host. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. It is a moment of gratitude, a trust, and thanksgiving. It can be a reconciling meal. It can be a meal in the desert, like manna. It is definitely not a meal that I enjoy while my enemies look on. You know, when I was young, I thought, I don't understand this. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and all my enemies are looking, and I'm eating. That's not what it means. It can be a bread of heaven, a cup of salvation. And the psalmist continues, you anoint my head with oil, meaning you are the healing medicine for me, and my cup overflows, meaning I cry with joy and gratitude. You know, cup is a very loaded word in the scripture. Jesus said from the cross, I can't take this cup anymore. That means pain and sadness. When the psalm says, my cup overflows, it's a cup of joy. That is why when we take communion, it is not only a cup of joy, but also a cup of suffering, the blood that was shed for us. It is both. Life is both. And the poet concludes by saying, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Saying that God is sufficient for me, and I am content. One of the things that I hope that at the end of my life I will say to my family, to my friends, and all those who have crossed my path, I am content, I am happy, I lived my life, and I am going to be with my Lord and Savior. So the relationship that we have continue. You know, again, I dwell in the house of the Lord forever is a loaded phrase saying that even after death, I will dwell in the presence of God. So what is the most important thing in your relationship with God? And in this life and in the life to come, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And very briefly, when we come to the 10th chapter of John, and you heard it, I read from the scripture, we understand what Jesus is talking about if we pay attention to Psalm 23. The good shepherd take care of his sheep. The good shepherd recognize the voice. In good times and bad times, the good shepherd does not desert us. During daytime and nighttime, 24/7, he is on duty. And I shall worship in the house of the Lord for the rest of my life. Whatever we do, wherever we go with God. We can only find restoration and abundance in this kind of leaders. Now, finally, all sermons are incomplete. The sermons are preached to a congregation. Unless the people take the sermon and complete it themselves, the sermon is incomplete. So I want to ask you, Christ Church, at this time in your history, in your personal life, and also in your community life, what are the questions that you need to ask? Let me start with personal time. What are the shadows we may find, you may find, while you walk through the life? Shadows in an x-ray, perhaps? You can fill in the blanks. What are the shadows that you need to think about as we leave the sanctuary? What do you think? Who is going to be with you? Who bring the oil of gladness, healing in your life? A pastoral leader? A neighbor? A close friend? A friend in faith? The spouse sitting next to you? Who brings the oil of gladness and healing in your life? A word of comfort, a word of hope. Where does that come from? You fill in the blank. What is our only comfort? Our only comfort is that in life and in death, we belong to God. Do you recognize the rod and the staff that God gives you in your life? Sometimes it is a rod, sometimes it is a staff. Sometimes it's a punishment, sometimes saving you from death. When we come to the end of our life, can we say, God is sufficient for me? In life and in death, to you, O God, I belong, the Good Shepherd. That's the new leadership style that Jesus is asking us to do in our own life and in the life of the congregation. Thanks be to God. Amen.